Ye sportsmen all, both great and small, pay heed to what I say, and excuse my want of eloquence to chant this roundelay. In praises of a comrade youth, brave Macklin is his name, from Crehan town of high renown, that place of noted fame. The armour boys, they didn't devise a bullet match to tie, and challenged our young hero, the truth I'll ne'er deny. He willingly consented, oh, and on him we did call, against the boasted Murta, to roll the metal ball.
Take 300 a ton.
Oh, 'twas on a Saturday afternoon in the year of 86, on the 24th day of July, that this game then was fixed. These heroes twain I do maintain, to throw they didn't begin, a 3 mile heat for £50, for which of them would win?
Last shot in the score.
'Twas at the Bridge Hill the butt was made for to commence to play, when Macklin he threw off his coat, his heart was light and gay. The bullet it come down the road like the roar of a cannon ball. The shouts and cries did rend the skies from bogmen one and all.
It's commonplace now to say that road bowls or bullets are played in Cork and Armagh. Indeed, ever since Peter Hammerman Donnelly of Armagh played what you might call the first big official Armagh-Cork match with Tim Delaney of Cork in 1928 here in Armagh, All-Ireland championships between Armagh and Cork have gone from strength to strength, so that names like Mick Barry and Dennis Scully of Cork and Danny McParland and Harry Toll of Armagh are household names in both counties. Indeed, too, there is now a further dimension, an international one. Last year, the fourth international was played in Jever, Germany, between teams from Holland, Germany, Cork and Armagh. And we are looking forward to the next international in Cork in 1977. It wouldn't surprise me if the London Irish, who also play the game over a road in Dagenham in Essex, wouldn't surprise me if they fielded a team as well.
Father Raymond Murray of Armagh, whose researches into the history of road bowls or bullets reveal that the game used to be played not only in the two counties where it flourishes today, but also in many other Irish counties, Waterford, Tipperary, Kerry, Clare, Galway, Cavan, Monaghan, Tyrone, Down, Carlow, Wexford.
For instance, the famed folklorist Patrick Kennedy in his booklet Evenings in the Duffery, published in 1869, tells the story of youths in County Wexford who bowled along the highway on Sunday, being made stand outside the chapel gate with the road bullets and slings around their necks. And they were made do so by the priest, who scolded them for dangerous play and for giving scandal to neighbours and giving scandal to Protestants by breaking the Sabbath. And I remember Aiken McClelland of the Coltra Folk Museum telling me about coming across references to bullets in the minutes of a Presbyterian church record in Drumbeg near Lisburn. Well, there are many other references too in other books. The Reverend W.J. Dowsley, you may have heard of his incomparable story of Old Tipperary and Waterford, a book called Travelling Men. a tale packed with old customs and sayings. And in that book, a Clonmel boy says, "The great game on Sundays was bowling along the country roads, and that toughened your arm muscles finely." Then you have a way back even further still. You have other interesting references. Dean Swift makes a reference to the sport in 1728 in his poem, A Pastoral Dialogue. "When you saw Taddy at long bullets play, you sat and lowed him all the sunshine day." In that same year, 1728, the Reverend Philip Skelton told how he was injured when a bullet hit a stone on the road. Here's what he says. "I was taken out of my bed by three or four companions and hurried out to a play called in the north of Ireland, Long Bullets. On that day, I received a blow with a 3-pound ball just over my left eye. This flattened the projecting part of my skull, which together with the extreme abstinence and large evacuations necessary to prevent fever, greatly shattered an excellent constitution." And interesting too, Wright's book, The Brontes in Ireland, talks about the uncles of the Brontes in action. "Every ounce of elastic force in the great muscular frame was called into action, and there was a profusion of strange, strong language that literally made our flesh creep and our hair stand on end."
It's D-Spot down here in Westcock. The bowling here, then there's another committee under the Westcocker region. There's 14 clubs in the Westcock Bowling Association. There's Caravowler, Skull, Baldy Hob, Affidown, the Mash Road, Drina, Dernas Hoffa, Lip, Lisheen, and Carmore, Cara. I don't know how many I've gone to now.
That's a fair number anyhow.
Yeah. Yeah. There's 14 there all together anyway.
Yep.
Jump over.
Was that a good shot, Jay?
It was very good. Well, it was unlucky at the finish up, but it's very good. It's average. Good average shot.
Yeah. Now, this particular score we're at, Jerry, is it a very important one?
Well, it's a third round score of the McCardle's holds the junior championship. It's between Sean Oliver and Mullaghy McCreesh. Mullaghy McCreesh won the Ulster title, junior title.
There's one going now, pass.
Yeah, very good.
That's a good shot.
That's Oliver's second ball.
He's into the ditch there. Oh, he's gone around the corner. Yeah.
Very good. Got a good rub off the dig.
It's a normal sort of thing now on a Sunday morning, walking out like this after the score, following it and putting a few bob on it then as well.
That's correct. Every Sunday morning after Mass.
Well, could you tell us about the money going on it there? There's a lot of it now I don't understand, Jerry. Would you understand it?
Well, the bet on practically every shot, providing that the tips are close enough for the bet on, you know. And the lay, if a man is 10 yards in front of the other man, well, backers lay 10 yards on that front man, that he maintains his lead by the 10 yards.
I've got a pony done and score.
He doesn't score.
All the followers here in West Cork, they're game to gamble their shirt. They've known the day of the fiver and the tenner, that's thing of the past. It's just, well, you can bet so many ways. They bet on the score. If they're losing, they bet on the opposition. If he's rising odds, we'd say a ball of odds, a 2 balls of odds. They bet again on the ball of odds. Maybe 5 or 10 pounds, maybe 20, maybe 30. So it's more of a gambling sport than anything else, especially down here.
Can't 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30. 30.
I'll fix it up for
you. Give Julian Rennie £60, yeah.
What about the rent money?
Don't mind the rent money this week.
Tommy,
what about
the money for the
lorry?
£1.
No, what, Ted? Yeah.
Tommy,
did it. You'll have to pay the taxes. What about the government?
Huh?
What about the government? They'll have to be paid too. Dinny, what do you think?
Full on receiver to Hoffman here. 1.
I think you've 11 there.
2, 3, going up the road, 4, up. 5, 6, and price 11. £12! Any more for Bork? A last pound for Bork? The very last pound. Come on, boys, don't get in your pocket. A last pound for Bork. A last pound. Right,
£12.
£12 now. Dickie Bork.
Yeah.
What's all the man?
Piccadilly.
What are you going to tell us?
Are you going to...
Right, what are you...
Call.
I call oh. Head.
Come on, we would not...
Dickie Bork wins the toss.
No, I don't. No, it's other man
wins. Though confined more or less nowadays to Armagh and Cork, Bullets or Road Bowls has a huge following in both those counties, and in certain parts at a variety of venues can be the principal weekend sporting event. In Armagh, at least, it has already attracted its own historians. Father Raymond Murray, for example, whom we heard earlier, tells how the game originated.
Edward Wakefield, writing in his book An Account of Ireland, Statistical and Political, in 1812, suggests that it was introduced from England. He says, "A class sprung from English progenitors, whose descent may be traced in their features, language and names. These last delight in the recreations of the country which give birth to their forefathers, and in this they are joined by the descendants of the Scotch. Horse racing, cock fighting and bull baiting, therefore, are the favourite amusements. They play also at long bullets, a game much practised by the weavers. When they intend amusing themselves, they assemble in great numbers and select for the scene of action the most level roads. The ball is of lead and it weighs 6 pounds. He who hurls it the greatest distance and the fewest throws, making it roll along the ground, is declared victor." Well, the answer may be there, that the game came in with the big revolution in the linen trade, probably in the 18th century. There are traditions of variations of the game, of course, in Scotland and Wales too. But wouldn't it be funny to think that this English game, if you like, has survived in Ireland? That the boys of Cork and Armagh are more English than the English themselves. And that the Irish lads in Dagenham are carrying bullets back to England. There are long traditions of the game in Armagh too. We can go back over the big champions of the decades. Danny McParland, the gun from Bridget's Hill, and the two tolls, Harry and Aidan, dominating the 60s and 70s. Joe McVeigh, Pat Coulter, Eddie McCoy in the 40s and 50s. And all of these, of course, and lesser heroes too, sung in praise and ballads.
They played on to Macready's with still a shot in hand. Oh, little did they think that Joe had met his bogeyman, for Coulter smashed the record with a gallant breakaway and brought home the Ulster title to the banks of Plunkett's Bay.
Peter Hammerman Donnelly, a wonderful athlete, dominated the 1930s. He was a nervous type and never proved his worth against the Cork men, but he was one of Armagh's greatest. Jim Michael, or Toots Macklin, as he was known, took the crown for the Mill Row boys in the 1920s, his big rival being John Dara. Dan Gribben and Jim Smith, men in their 80s now, still with us, dominated the First World War years. But the greatest score of all time, I suppose, the greatest score to catch the imagination, was the bullet match between Jim Macklin of Crehan, the country lad, versus Hugh Murta O'Neill of the town. played on the Moy Road for £50 on the 24th of July 1886. The day was fine along the line, the men in groups did stand. Young Macklin, he came forward with the spirit of a man. His aspects, they were charming, and good spirits bloomed within. Says he, "My boys, throw down your bets, for the laurels I will win." He did win, and I suppose he was the greatest.
So every man take a glass in hand and drink a toast with me. Long life attend you, Macklin, wherever you may be. For you have caused them Armagh boys to sleep with uneasy mind. For before the score was over, they were half a mile behind.
Well, Macklin is a myth till a certain extent. He did play, but many tales are told about Macklin and how he played. But Macklin, he was noted. He was an athlete, just a natural athlete. And he was noted to vault over two horses that was used in the plough just to get a drink at a public house. He also was noted to jump back roads over the locks at the canal in Blackwater Town. He also was noted to play this famous score against Mortar. And that was played on the Moy Dungannon Road, the Armagh Moy Dungannon Road. And many songs are sung about that particular score, and many feats are credited to Mackle, which ordinary people that don't live in the area or the locality would think that it was just, as the countryman says, a bit of a Brannigan.
Tom McBride, you're a nephew, I believe, of the famous Macklin the Bullet Thrower.
Yes, I'm a nephew, yes. And he was a great athlete. He could nearly have done anything in the line of running and jumping and playing bullet. He followed the hounds and he could cross the country. He had no call to look for roads, they tell me, or nothing. And he lived across here and down the hill over there, Creighton Hill, the back side of it there. That's where he was wearing.
The best man that ever came, that ever threw a ball, was Patsy Murphy. He came from this area, Waterloo, Ballygibbon. And he threw a laugh below on the Cork exhibition in 1904, and he threw it in 1908, and he threw it 104 yards. And Mick Barry or him never could come near that.
When did the bowl start around here, do you know?
The bowl started around here way back. I believe that was the British soldiers buying the bowl ping in here, in Ireland first.
British Army, you mean?
British Army. And, they took up the sport around here then, and then when the Irish fellas got into it then and took over, the British didn't try to stop it, because the Irish fellas were too good from all. And they tried to stop it in, and they got the RAC, and they got everyone to stop it all over the country. And now it's supposed to be still an illegal game, but it's not now. Well, we're allowed to play in it anyway now.
Is an association now, like?
And we're organised now, and we've great scores and great crowd following and great money invested in their own men.
A good bowler or bullet thrower has to be athletic, fit and strong, if only because of the 28-ounce weight of the bowl and the method of throwing. Dermot Hicks, another historian of the game, author of Road Bowls in Armagh.
There are many variations of bowls, whether on an ordinary bowling green, although this is much different, much more physical, and of course a different class of people, you might say, play this road bowls.
Around Armagh, it's played out, or used to be played out, the Moy Road, in my own time anyhow.
Well,
could you tell us how it is played, in fact?
Well, the Armagh players play a different style from the Cork throwers in that Armagh throw what's known as underarm as opposed to the Cork bowlers' overarm. The Armagh players have a large run, then they hurl themselves forward and throw from a semicircular angle coming from above their head to their knee, and then they let the bowl go as soon as their feet hit the ground, using their whole body to propel the bullet forward. The Cork throwers have a very short one up, about 2 or 3 foot, and they wind their arm like a windmill and they throw high. This is explained in that the roads in Cork have not been as good as the Armagh roads, and the Cork throwers like to get their bowl as far in the air without touching the ground as possible, as they find it much more to their advantage.
Well, there's three different weights in the bowling, in the bowl itself. There's a 16 ounce, that would be roughly for the under 14s. They don't use it now, I think. And there's a 24 ounce, that was for the under 16s a few years ago. And there's a 28 ounce. That's the 28 ounce they bowl with all around West Cork and in Armagh. That's the only bowl that we bowl here with. The light bowls are gone off the market.
Where is it made?
Up in Hall Bowling in Cork, I think. But we get them here locally in the village.
Are many lost during scores?
It depends on roads. Like some roads now, you'd lose a lot of bowls where there'd be no fence if there was bushes or anything growing, or into a bog or anything. But locally, the committee are down them all the time so they don't lose too many.
But a lot of the roads now have been straightened out and the surfaces have been changed. Oh, well, is there as much skill needed nowadays as there was years ago?
Oh no. Because 50 years ago, like, there was no tar in the roads. They had to bowl in the rough road, you know. Before it was tarred, it was all potholes and heaps of stones. You'd have to take a bowl, loft the bowl 70 yards to get into a pint, like to make a pint, whereas you few of them today can loft 70 yards.
What's the best loft nowadays? What's the championship, Mark?
Well, I'd say on the ball coming ahead, Mick Barry is the top. I think he's something around 78 yards or something.
What do you think of the Armagh style of bowling? The underarm style?
I see them, but I think they're very low, like, you know, the underhand. But still, they're pretty good to bowl. McParland there, I see him a few times, and Aidan Toll, and Malachy McReish, I think they're very good.
But would you not get more power with the overarm? Well,
some of the overhands here, like Johnny Creed now, are Mick Barry or Dennis Scully, they're every bit as fast as the Armagh lads, but the Armagh lads are very fast. Like, it's between them it is, roughly, I'd say.
Patsy McCoy of Armagh would agree with Danny O'Donovan of Drina that improvements in road surfaces may have had an influence on bowling styles.
Yes, there's a new tarmac carpet on the road at the moment, not like the old Flintstone. The Flintstone made a hard surface, and the road player of yesterday had the good road surface that the road got good life out of, the bowl got good life out of, and it left good speed on the bowl. Nowadays, with this tar carpet, it is pockmarked for to give good grip for motor cars. This kills the speed of the bowl as it runs across the road. Also, the new road of today is very much cluttered with traffic. The old road of yesterday, very seldom a motor car came along. So therefore, the road players and the road followers had all these roads to themselves. Today, now, the main roads, no bowls are played on them. They're put onto mostly side roads. And indeed, the bowl followers are guilty if they, with the new modern transport, have taken their cars to these particular games and indeed glutton up their own particular field of play, so to speak.
In Cork, the great man of myth and legend in bowling is Mick Barry, mentioned more than once already. Undisputed Munster champion for years and many times All-Ireland champion, he's an obviously dedicated man and still at the top when most men would have been long since retired.
At the moment I'm 56, so at 17 I was a senior player, competing with the best at the time and keeping up with them and beating them. And I realised that that time that to be a good player one needed to do certain things and refrain from doing certain other things. Number one, I felt that one had to be a teetotaler. Smoking seemed to be out also. And a certain amount of practice, diligent practice, not over practice or anything like that, in order to become a good player. I realised that I had the ability to be a good player because I had heard so many people talking about the way I played and everything, that I realised that I must have some potential, and in order to develop it, I made a careful study of players whom I knew, and found out that players who were inclined to be overindulgent in, with liquor or smoking weren't able to stand up to the pace. So that was the first step, and by the time I was 20 I was at the top of the ladder, and at 56 I'm still,
you're still there.
I'm still at the top of the ladder, but I just don't know why. I suppose I was endowed with certain things that maybe other people aren't endowed with. I possibly was one of those people whom you could claim was a Barn ball player, similar to Christy Ring, who was a Barn hurler, similar to, we'll say, Ali, who was a Barn boxer, and who were all dedicated to their one game, and I became, and am still, a very dedicated ball player.
Have the roads changed much since you started bowling first, Mick?
Considerably, considerably. When I started bowl playing, we had all what we call dirt roads. I referred to it while ago as limestone roads. And it was a game that required an awful lot of accuracy, because in the winter time, sheets of stones were put out to replace old worn parts of the road. And you had to be able to put a bowl in between the sheets of stones. At the present time, now some of us were quite capable of doing that, and it looked as if we monopolised the game at that time, and we did, because the less endowed players, that we call them, who hadn't the same amount of strength or the same loft or the same anything, they weren't just able to compete with us.
Now McBarry was the greatest the game had ever seen. They said he was invincible and far by that evergreen. But undaunted young MacParlan went to test his skill and try to take the trainer cup back to St. Bridget's Hill.
In the past, Armagh bullet throwers in particular have laboured under a certain disability. The game, played over a 3-mile stretch of road, can be dangerous to traffic and to spectators alike. And it has been and is against the law. But the law may not always be enforced. Dermot Hicks.
Well, all games on the public highway are illegal, so road bowls was to be made no exception. And many of the present day champions remember being chased off the road or being hauled up in front of the court and fined 10 shillings. The score would be abandoned at the sight of a police car, and the spectators would flee across the fields and ditches. The bullet then would be confiscated, and anyone found would be fined. But this has died out. I think during the 1930s, the Depression era, the men spent much of their time out on the road due to lack of work, and the courts became lenient with them because of the hard times. And there hasn't been a prosecution, I believe, since the 1930s.
And in fact, it has all become highly respectable now. I notice accounts there in the local papers of the scores and championships being held and all that sort of thing.
Well, at the start, road bowl bullet throwers were unpopular. Well, not unpopular, but there were men who gambled a lot on the score, and at the time it was not a respectable sport to be involved in at all. But gradually there was an association formed on Bowl Common in 1952.
This is in Armagh itself?
This is in Armagh. The Cork Association had been going, I believe, before that. And then the Armagh men decided to form themselves into an association, and gradually they set up the different grades for throwing in, the senior, the junior and the juvenile, and there was prize money and sponsorship and respectability gradually followed this.
Though not all bowlers belong to an Bowl Common, the game in both Armagh and Cork has now progressed from the Sunday morning after mass type of improvisation into a highly organised sport. Mick Barry.
It was very necessary that this organisation, like Bowl Common and our northern counterparts, it was very necessary that to organise it, a committee would be formed for to look after the affairs and to see that everything was carried out in a proper order. After all, every other sport is organised in the same way, and you have a committee to look after the affairs of the different sports, and why not a committee to look after the affairs of bowl playing?
Mm. And then there's a fair amount of money to put on the players, isn't there, in this part of the country?
There is.
And an Armagh too.
Oh, yes, of course, I know. But that doesn't interfere with the playing in any way. It's a healthy sign, I think, for to see players and supporters going out and each side backing their own men and may the best man win. That's the way it should be, and there's no ill feeling or no bad blood or anything at all. It's just taken, and that's it.
Would you have your own supporters all down through the years, Mick, people who would back you all the time?
Well, unfortunately, quite a few of them are gone to the other side, I'm afraid, since I started. But I have a very consistent number of backers from my early days who are still with me. But if everybody who wanted to back me was allowed to back me, then I'm afraid nobody could compete against me as regards money anyway.
That is 12-5-0. That is 12-5-0-10.
I'll take 2-1 this shot.
That is 12-5-0.
I'll take 10-5 this bowl.
That is 12-5-0.
I'll take 10-5 this bowl.
That is 12-5-0.
The big occasion for bowlers each year is the All-Ireland Championship, played in the last few years at any rate, on a Cork road around the last Sunday in August. Before the present troubles in the north, however, championship scores have been played every second year in Armagh, and the Cork man, whoever he was, usually brought a formidable reputation with him.
The visit of a Cork man is always a big occasion around Armagh, because from way back in yesterday, there's a myth about the Cork man, just something similar to if a man come from Mars. The Cork man is somebody different, something, there's different tales told about laughing 100 yards onto a threepenny bit or a sixpenny piece, over corners very high and clearing the road. This myth goes with the Cork man. However, this last while, Armagh players have indeed taken games from the Cork man, and the myth is somewhat dying.
There are stories too about feats of going to Cork in the old days.
Yes, I can mind an old man that used to live in this particular townland by the name of Andy Cuse, who was a great follower of the bowl player and an interesting man to listen to. And he told me way back in the year 1900 there was a player in Armagh known as the Hammerman Corn, and he did play a Cork man in Armagh who was a member of the British Army and stationed in Armagh at the particular time, and this game took place on the Belfast Road, Portydown, Armagh Portydown Road. Unheard of for a game to be played even over this last 25 years on this particular road. And indeed, to play the return score, this man had to travel to Cork in the year 1900, and it took him 3 days going and 3 days coming home again.
This year, on last Sunday in fact, the All-Ireland Championship was played on the Ballyshaunine Road, 12 or 13 miles northwest of Cork City, between the veteran Mick Barry and a much more youthful opponent from Armagh, John Gribben.
In this game there's a certain amount of luck attached to it, and getting the breaks, you never know. Would like to think that I would do fairly well.
How do you feel about the Cork roads?
The Cork roads in general don't suit us very well, but I would say this particular road here at Ballyshonin would suit us the best of the Cork roads.
Mick Barry's a formidable man to beat any time. Do you think you'll beat him now today?
Well, he's certainly a formidable man to beat, and with getting the brakes and a bit of luck, which all runs with this game, I certainly think that I'll give him a run for his money.
The money, however, was mostly on Barry, and he started a strong favourite. As Flower Crowley, chairman of An Bolcommon, said...
Yes, he is a strong favourite, sir, and it's quite understandable that he should be that, seeing that he's going for his ninth senior All-Ireland final today against John Gribben, who has never been a senior until 1975.
So the odds on Barry are about 2-1, or...
Well, I would say that they might even be 5-1.
Mm-hmm.
And I would personally classify Barry as the greatest man who ever played bowls. He has been a senior player since 1939. That was probably before John Gribben was born. And every year from 1939 to 1975, he has been the supreme player, not only in Cork, but in all Ireland.
And even at 56 or thereabouts, he can still win in All-Ireland.
56 plus, he can still win in All-Ireland, and I think he will too.
If it's even money, it's no good. If it's a bowl, it's no good. It's going to be two. Why not?
Two bowls of what?
Two bowls of what? Yeah, look at the difference in the two men.
I'm only saying he could be there.
Yeah. But the two bowls of odds might give us a chance.
Oh, no.
What are you going to lay me?
11 pegging a tenner.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, but you have a good man. You're a good man, aren't you? Know,
and listen, we may have a good man in the north, but he's not near as hard as Mick Barry.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, the men are getting old now. The men are getting old.
Oh, but we're all getting old.
Look up.
Hey, come on with
that. I want 500 guys killed. What Hillary went to?
But what do you think of it at this stage, Flower?
Well, what I said at the beginning holds more so now than it did even then, because at the moment Barry is forging ahead very steadily. He is playing well, playing accurately, playing with his usual great force, much more force than Gribben has, and it looks at the moment as if Barry will have an easy win.
Watch it, old lad.
That's not such a good one.
He threw very wide. He didn't play the mark there.
Well, Gribben now, with a bit of luck, could come up again now.
He could, yeah, he could.
Coming up to the halfway stage now, Flora.
Approximately the halfway, yes. And at the moment, Barry has made two mistakes. Just made two mistakes. But so has Toll. Gribben, I'm sorry. Gribben.
Yes.
He had the opportunity of coming level. He lost that opportunity. And my considered opinion is that he might not get another opportunity. And it was very serious thing for Gribben to have lost the chance he was given, because it's not like Barry to give away too many chances.
8 pound and 5 wee beats. Aidan, what do you think of it now? What are the chances?
It looks bad now.
It looks bad for our mouth.
It looks bad. You don't think he can make it from here?
No, I would tell you, because the roads are suitable. And they played every chance they got.
Barry must increase his lead from here home.
Did He got every chance. Leading in the score.
Gribben got the chance.
Didn't avail of him.
That was a terrific shot of Barry's, though. Them last four.
Three was coming into the wood.
Them last four was terrible. Four terrible, desperate shots.
Barry must
increase his lead from here home because
just imagine. I had a favour. The throw coming into the wood.
Gribben's throw a favour.
Comes from here to the fucking pole.
Gribben's throw a favour.
Barry's playing very well. He's as good as ever he was.
He is very consistent there too in his shots, apart from a couple of mistakes.
And still has plenty of speed.
But that's the great thing, yes. I believe, the speed and the power behind the shots.
It takes him out of trouble. The speed takes him out of trouble.
A bit of Armagh enthusiasm there on the floor, all right.
I would say it's sort of a dying effort, but Gribben did have a good throw there, but it's not going to change the result very much because Barry has now a good deal over two bowls of odds. That means he's at this particular point in almost three throws less than Gribben. And with one shot to go, well, that's, in any language, that's the score is over. The competition is over. Well, that's Barry's last throw. He's gone beyond the line. He's won the score, won it by close and three balls of odds. He's 9-time All Ireland senior champion.
There was great force in that one, too.
Oh, force. He's playing stronger now at the end than he did at the start, which is a wonderful test of a man's stamina and endurance. It has been a long, long drawn-out competition in heavy heat in a big crowd, but Barry hasn't failed at all. He's still as strong, in fact, stronger than he was at the very start. And if ever we have a man to do the same again, well, he will be the unique character in the history of Old Ireland.
Now McBarry was the greatest the game had ever seen. They said he was invincible and far by that evergreen. But undaunted young MacParlan went to test his skill and try to take the trainer cup back to St. Bridget's Hill. Now when Danny and his followers arrive near Dublin Hill, the Cork men saw them coming and got ready for the kill. We lay you odds of 2-1 or 5-2, they said, for the beating of our Mickey boy is not in Cork today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.